Welcome to the Growing EBITDA podcast, where we unlock the doors to management and technology insights in the middle market. Join us as we explore innovative strategies to drive revenue and EBITDA growth, interviewing industry leaders and technology experts. Whether you're looking to streamline operations, understand the latest tech trends, or lead your company towards exponential growth, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and let's grow together.
All right. Back in the studio.
Hey, Mike.
James, where are you at today?
Actually, I'm home this week, Mike.
Oh, great. First time this year?
Yeah, actually, it is the first week this year I've been home.
Monday through Friday?
Monday through Friday. You home this week, too?
Excellent. I am not. I'm headed to California tomorrow morning to go see some colleagues, but didn't travel last week. So, you know,
nice.
That's a win.
Good ski season?
Great ski season. Great ski season. Always wish I could have skied more, you know, but living in Colorado helps. That's for sure.
Our quarter inch of snow here in Houston didn't. So,
oh, I heard jealous. About that. You get the skis out?
Yeah, I did. Just to look at them.
Are those like alpine water skis? Is that what they call them down in Houston?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And do you tow them with a boat or a truck?
It's Texas, so a diesel power truck.
There you go. Lifted.
Lifted.
All right. So, James, what are we talking about today?
Today, we're going to talk about cybersecurity, but with an interesting spin on it, Mike, which I think is a good one, and I'm glad that we're having the conversation together again. It's how do we address board-level concerns? So, we had our cybersecurity episode. For folks that may not have heard it, go back and listen. But one of the topics that came out was, how do we address some of those board-level concerns?
So, how'd you do it?
Well, let's just dive right in, man. Let's just get right at it. So, I think a lot of times, our episodes, and you and I talk about this, and just to let everyone know, we do have conversations before the show where we talk about themes and go over what we're going to discuss. And sometimes we have this feeling of like, maybe what we're talking about is too simple and sometimes not simple enough. But I think today we're going to talk about kind of some major components of that. And I'm going to start with the simplest, which is just understanding your risk and understanding that portfolio. One of the things I think about organizations are really good at threat protection is around the physical security side. So we go to facilities all the time. They have cameras up. They have locks on the door. They make sure there's badges or some form of system. And they have a sign-in, sign-out sheet, most likely. But what I think a lot of times that is something that isn't thought about as we look at smaller businesses on the smaller side of the mid-market is those invisible threats. And we've all heard them. The phishing attacks, the cybersecurity events. It makes news cycles. We hear about it all the time. And as we discussed in our last episode, there's a lot that isn't discussed in the media or that you read about, which is some of these smaller things. And so we think about how do we start to understand and educate ourselves is we have to understand what good looks like. And a lot of times at Trivista, we see folks understand what good looks like at the time of diligence. So if I'm a family-run, family-owned business, I don't really have a good perception of what my gaps are and what my issues are. I just assume I'm doing well. I'm working with my IT professional, whether it be an internal or external resource, and they tell me, hey, we got to charge an extra $50 a month, but you're going to be good. And I say, perfect, that's great. There's not really a lot of folks who go out and measure themselves against industry standards and what looks best. And so that leadership team that you're working with, whether again, internal or external, can maybe have a misperception of where they are on the journey and getting some of that guidance. As a listener, and just as a quick aside, if you want some of that guidance, there are great groups out there. Obviously, that's one of the things that Trivista does, but there's great groups you can reach out to today. Prepare yourself, have those conversations, and do what they would call a gap analysis. So reach out to your favorite cyber professional and say, hey, I want to do a gap analysis on my cyber. They'll know what you mean and should be able to jump into action. And the reason we do those gap analysis is a lot of times, and unfortunately, another thing you read about, everyone reacts to things, a reactionary culture. It's a tough one for me to say.
I think what you're trying to say is a reactive culture.
There it is, a reactive culture. I didn't react well to the need of the word. And that really means that, hey, when something happens, I react quickly and mostly I react well to that. So I wait for that event to happen to be prepared for that. And so I think we've seen more and more on the opposite of that, folks start to go out and get insurance for cybersecurity, be a little more proactive on finding those solutions, maybe standing up multi-factor authentication for email. But there's still this idea that I'm going to react to some of these events because I'm not fully prepared. And when you think about it and understand your risk, if you don't know what your risks are because you don't understand what they could be, you have a misperception of where you are in your journey, you're going to have to react, which can cause quite a bit of turmoil and challenges. So I know we talked a little bit about this as well last time, Mike, but, you know, board season, we got through the holidays, we got through end of year, beginning of year. Cyber is always a big topic that time of year. Kind of how does that resonate with what you're hearing in the field?
You know, I think in general, there's still a lot of lack of understanding at the board level about cybersecurity. I think most businesses that I'm involved with who take cybersecurity seriously have either had a cyber incident, a breach, so to speak, or have a board member or executive who have lived through something like that at a different organization. You know just as well as I do, I still walk into businesses every month and find cybersecurity completely lacking in some cases, and, you know, not absent, but deficient in many others. Certainly there are some companies that are leading the way here, leading the charge, who've invested appropriately, who have the right skill sets, either internally. It's actually difficult to have all the right skill sets internally, right? But so it's really about having good skill sets internally and complementing those with external resources, because you really kind of can't do this on your own. And I think, candidly, I think there's just a lot of people out there who continue marching along thinking, hey, I haven't had a cyber breach, so we must be good, right? I think there's just a lot of, it's not just at the board level, but it's at the, you know, executive team level too. There's just a lot of kind of lack of understanding of the breadth and depth of a breach and how much it can impact the business. You know, it's one thing if one of your employees gets hustled via email or via text message to use a company credit card to buy some gift cards for somebody, right? We hear about that stuff sometimes. It's another thing if these bad actors are able to get into your internal system, maybe it's your ERP system, and shut it down. Or let's say you're a printing business, steal all of your source artwork, and now you can't print any of your production that week, that month, that year. Think about how embarrassing it's going to be to go back to your client base and go, hey, we had a cyber breach. All your sensitive files got hacked. We can't access them. Can you send us new ones so we can get back to producing your displays or whatever it is that you may be printing, right? And that's just one example. You can have entire businesses get taken down, production systems, you know, transportation management systems, ERP systems, CRM systems. You know, what if you immediately lose the ability to invoice your customers because somebody takes over your financial system, right? And until you've kind of lived through one of those issues, until you've had some of those scars, oftentimes I don't find people taking this as seriously as we would encourage them to.
Yeah, that's important. I'd like to shout out one particular listener or podcast that I'm very proud of, Mike, and that would be yourself, because to hear you naturally drop bad actor as part of your statement, as you're not even thinking about it as you go through, hey, we may not touch a lot of folks on this podcast, but I'm glad we got you. That was an excellent quote.
Is the reason you did this podcast in the first place to try and get me to appreciate cybersecurity more, James?
I'll never say.
Yeah.
or maybe try to get that funding up. One of the things I think is interesting, Mike, so I think there's a lot of, and we haven't done a podcast on this, and again, maybe another future podcast around what the structure of a board is and what the makeup of a board. I think because it's such a quintessential piece of this podcast, we should talk about boards a little bit, just because I think maybe some of our listeners have thought about boards at family-run businesses where it's just some friends and maybe some family or your internal team, or they hear this kind of Wall Street board where you just assume it's a bunch of execs flying in on private jets and having mm-hmm. fancy meals. I think it's maybe important to talk about, like, what is the understanding of a board member? Or maybe how about this? What's the profile of a board member? Maybe you can talk a little bit about that. And then what's the general understanding? I know you mentioned that they have maybe suffered a breach before, but let's go profile a board member and how much they really know about cyber, or kind of the experience level of these board members in the cyber arena.
Sure. So boards come in all different shapes and sizes, but generally speaking, broad generalities here, you tend to either have boards that are comprised of like family shareholders in a founder, family-owned business setting. When the business gets sold, you know, if it gets sold to a private equity fund, the private equity fund is going to build their own board. Oftentimes, that's going to be comprised of the CEO, maybe the CFO from the management team, maybe the founder if they're still involved, if they've continued to remain a shareholder to some degree, a minority shareholder in the business, maybe as an example. and then maybe two or three or four people from the investment group, from the private equity fund. Obviously, publicly traded companies, big, large, global organizations, they tend to have more diverse boards, where maybe it's the CEO is a board member. Oftentimes, the CEO can be the chairman as well as some of those boards. And then maybe some outside directors from other industries, maybe one or two from large institutional investors, the BlackRocks and, you know, Vanguards and those types of folks. But in the mid-market, if it's a private equity-backed business, it's kind of as I described, or if it's a family-owned business, oftentimes you have some family members. And quite frankly, I think in my personal experience, in both those settings, founder-owned businesses and boards that I've been associated with and private equity-backed businesses, the risk that you always run, in my opinion, is kind of groupthink, right? So you get a couple of people from the management team, you get a handful of people from the investor group. You know, what do you have? Well, you have a diverse set of experiences and, you know, battle scars that people have learned from, and hopefully people have had some exposure to different industries. That's often the case. But even still, you know, while that's typically a much more professional board than kind of a founder-owned, kind of family-driven board, oftentimes there'll still be gaps. Cybersecurity is one of them. Quite frankly, you know, in the 15 boards that I've been on over the last 20 years, I don't know that we've ever had somebody who would say that they're even close to a well-versed intermediate from a cybersecurity expertise perspective, let alone an expert. And I think that, you know, that's an opportunity for a lot of businesses, right? It's an opportunity to bring that in. You know, so you asked the question, kind of, what do boards look like? I kind of gave you a little bit of an answer. Hopefully that's helpful to some folks. There's no such thing as a perfect board, but I think certainly this is a topic that if your board's not talking about cybersecurity, especially over the last couple of years with everything that's happened in the world, you need to prioritize it a lot more.
So Mike, since baselining the board, right? So now you've kind of baselined that communication, you've baselined the persona of a board. So I'm new, recently acquired, and I want to get cybersecurity worked into my board pack, right? What's the best way? Because to be frank, and not myself, just so the listeners don't think, what the heck is this IT professional telling me this question? But let's put myself in the position of CEO for a minute. I'm speaking from a place of ignorance. I can't bring my IT management team. I'm not going to bring my outside consultant, but I'm going to present to you, board, around cyber. What is a way that you've seen kind of that leader that's going to present on cyber be successful in articulating kind of what they know and what their gaps are to make you feel comfortable with where they are on the journey? I'm trying to give them a little tactical bit of advice, if you don't mind.
This is definitely a topic that, unless you are in fact an expert, claiming ignorance is your absolute best friend. I think coming to the board and saying, hey, I'm worried about cybersecurity, not that there's some glaring risks that I'm aware of, because if there was, I'd be talking about those today, but I'm just concerned about where the world is going, and I don't feel like we have the internal resources to really run it to ground. Let's just assume that's the example that we're going to use. Ask for permission to bring in some outside experts. I mean, some CEOs may not even have to ask for permission, but certainly get the dialogue going with your board. Start getting your board members educated that this is something that's a priority for the business. And by the way, we're making the assumption that they haven't already jammed this down the CEO's throat as a critically important topic. Most private equity funds these days are keenly aware of the risks. They're going to be socializing that with their CEOs. You know, so, and I think given that context, just coming to your first board meeting, maybe as a private equity backed CEO, maybe you're new to the role, and saying, hey, cybersecurity is a real issue for us, the same as worker safety is a real issue for us, amongst other topics, and making sure that at every board meeting, you don't have to dwell on these topics, but at every board meeting, you're touching on them a little bit. Oftentimes, we'll start board meetings with, hey, here's what's happening from a safety perspective across our workforce. We've had zero recordable injuries. Awesome, right? Maybe leading with, we've had zero cyber breaches. Awesome. It just kind of sets the table and sets the tone, gives the board a good understanding that the CEO's one of the things that they're focused on is the right thing to be focused on for the business. I think if the business is immature from a cybersecurity perspective, talking about who you're going to bring in from the outside to run penetration tests, to do a gap analysis, sharing those reports with the board, even if there's a bunch of glaring, like, nasty things in there. But coming to that next meeting, say, hey, I want you to read this. And by the way, we're coming to share at the next board meeting. We're going to share the plan on how we're going to remediate these things, both internal things that we're going to do, some outside experts that we're going to bring in to help us mitigate these issues. This just really is one of those topics, James, that, as you know better than I do, in fact, you just can't ignore this, right? The risk is too great for the business.
No, awesome. Yeah, I think honesty is always the best policy, especially in this space. And to your point, Mike, I have seen a lot of senior leaders and organizations reach out to us and say, hey, I'm about ready to present this slide. Can you give it a once over? Or we're asked to provide a slide to say, if you were brought in to remediate, what would be those first steps you do? And we get asked that question a lot. I think it's also an interesting point. And for our PE listeners out there, having a playbook around what at the level of the organization you feel the cybersecurity stance should be is really important. So we're at this operating partners gathering in Utah, and they're having a conversation, and we got invited to participate. And one of the things they're talking about is they had established a playbook for cybersecurity, minimum requirements, non-negotiables, and then preferences. And they actually gave that to their management team, kind of like if you think like a management book, day one, put it on the desk, there it is. And they found that the cyber to be one of the more important because it was one of the highest things they felt exposed. And this is a manufacturing distribution, primarily that's what they own. And they felt that to be one of their highest risks that could affect the value of the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the impact is so, it can be so far reaching and broad. You can take down a whole business with a bad cyber breach. And it's something that to a large degree is within your control. Right. It's kind of, listen, I think about it like worker safety. It is 100% within your control to create a safe working environment. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have hazardous working conditions, but you can work to make it the safest environment that you possibly can so that you're mitigating the risk to the business, but also, you know, in that case, mitigating the risk to the employees directly. You know, cyber is kind of one of those, I think that's a good analogy. Something might not go wrong. But if it does, you're really going to regret that it did. So taking every step that you possibly can to protect the business, to protect its assets, to protect its people. It could be dealing with a business with a lot of personally identifiable information. To set up those protections is just critically important.
While we were talking, I also sent an email to my lawyer to register a trademark around days without a cyber incident. So that little board that has the day clicker on it that you can reset. I appreciate that tip. I'll give you 5% of income. So appreciate that one. That's a good one. So maybe let's move into the remediation. What could I talk to you about? Maybe let's talk about how we improve it. Does that work?
Yeah, let's do it.
We talked about, you know, how to understand where we're not educated on it. We talked about how to talk about it. Let's talk about that positive side, which is the quick ways to improve. And Mike said it in when you talked about it was, the security audit. And now I'm using the word audit on purpose, not assessment, not tabletop exercise. You'll hear from IT professionals, audit. And so to Mike's earlier point around looking for analogies, when I think about the analogy of a financial audit, it's I dig in, I go deep, I do lots of information, and I come out with ways to improve. So I think understanding your vulnerabilities, engaging an outside firm to perform that audit, and going through and digging into your cyber situation will give you a very nice playbook / worry report around the things that you need to do better and you need to improve on. It'll also work as a great document to educate you and understand some of those industry terms and go deeper. And typically in today's market, when there's a rep and warranty process attached to a transaction, you need at least a light cyber touch diligence because it's required for the rep and warranties. Those are mostly assessments, and Trivista does assessments most of the time during its diligences as well. So having that deeper level after that transaction moving forward is important. And we talked a little about that in the 100-day plan. So folks are putting together a 100-day plan.
And how often should you redo an audit? Like, is that an annual thing? What do you think?
Yeah, so I think I prefer to do an annual, but I want to put a caveat on this. I buy a new company, I add a new system, or I make a IT personnel change. I kick off an audit immediately. There are certain events that I want to do an additional audit because I've done a large change to my environment that merits an audit. If I'm running the shop every day, normal day to day, every year makes sense, maybe even a couple years if you're a low risk business. But anytime I make a major change, which by the way, in the world of PEs often, I'm running that audit. It's a great spend.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think that just speaks to, on the spectrum, I'm probably cybersecurity intermediate from a board member perspective, but I couldn't answer that question myself, right? I think it's just still uncharted waters for so many of us out there. You know, we need more folks with this kind of experience and perspective having these conversations.
No, I agree. And one of the ways to help chart those waters is employee training. And employee training could be extended to your board. we do have quite a few folks that extend their employee training to outside groups, whether they're 1099s or others. We do a lot of work with companies where we also participate in their cyber training. You said earlier, it's somewhat controllable, and a lot of it is on us for best practices. Your number one threat is your employees, whether it be email or other things. So it's an important thing to stay on top of. The human error side is what will eat you alive on cybersecurity. The little silly things that don't have to happen that do. And so we made a big transition internally at Trivista. We used to have this arduous 2-hour training video every year that we pushed out to everyone. And I'm sure people multitasked their way through the video, clicked on the answers, trying to guess the questions, and passed. We found a new training solution that every quarter pushes out a 15-minute video that's actually kind of funny, kind of nice, has some simple questions, goes over a basic concept, and it's kind of drip campaigning you into those cyber improvements. I know, Mike, you consume those videos. What are your thoughts about that transition from that kind of bigger monolithic video to the new process?
Well, I'm simple-minded, so anything you can give me in a bite-sized chunk tends to work better.
Perfect. I like that. I will say this section will be called Simple-Minded Solutions for Simple-Minded Folks. And then the last one is I think that's important to talk about is the preparation and policies. So I'm going to tie it back to what you said, Mike, because I like it. When I think employee safety, lockout, tagout, we're all familiar with, right? So I'm in a plant. I needed to go do work. Something. I used to work in paint manufacturing, right? So you go in these big vats of paint. Lockout, tagout was a big training, how you make sure that it doesn't kick on when someone's hoisted their way down into this tank. Lockout, tagout a bit for cybersecurity is if I have an event, who do I alert? Who do I call? What are my next steps? What's my process? So on all of our laptops that we have for our team members and in our communications, we have the 800 number for support because heaven forbid you have a cyber event, you can't get into your laptop. You can't Teams me. You can't chat me. You need to call somebody. So there's that ability to know, again, like lockout, tagout, who do I communicate with? The second part is incident response plan. So to your point, if I have a medical emergency or there's an earthquake, where do people go? Or who do I call when I need medical? Or what's my nearest ambulance? What's my nearest hospital? Mm-hmm. That type of preparation around cyber. Incident response plan really is a fancy way of saying, when things go sideways, how do I start to remediate? So we talked about that call, but it's also informing the user, don't continue on the conversation. Turn off your machine. Disconnect. Stop going. And I think a lot of times, I think about this when I grew up riding dirt bikes. And so you ride these dirt bikes, and a lot of times when you're having a problem on a dirt bike, you try to overcompensate by throttling up or pulling through. And really the trick is sometimes just letting go, eating the dirt for a second, and getting back up and dusting off. In cyber, it's important to express to your users what that plan is, how they gracefully exit an incident, not shaming in the moment, to be able to get through that and then going back and fixing it. So when I think about kind of my next steps to summarize for folks, get that audit, understand where the challenges are, continue to talk about with your employees. Mike, you brought up a great example at the board. Take that example to your employees and say, this many days without an incident. And the last one is have a plan. So yeah. I think that's the big things.
And candidly, I learn on all these episodes, you know, on this topic, certainly, you know, my key takeaway is if you're on a board, ask for that annual audit. Ask for, you know, or keep your eyes open for changes in the business, new IT leader, new system being introduced, right? Let's do another audit. Be penny wise and kind of pound foolish is the risk if you don't. Doing those audits more frequently, getting that training across the enterprise, asking the CEOs, hey, when was the last time we did training? How do we do training? What's the efficacy of that training? And then, you know, asking to see the incident response plan. I think those are good nuggets. So before, go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to say, I'm glad you got something out of it. And the thing I was going to ask you, Mike, sorry, at the end is, so we've gone through this whole thing around communication, board, and action plan. And I heard your kind of summary for the board level and folks and some of your learning. So I appreciate that. But to kind of go back, which we always talk about and try to keep ourselves true, is if I'm in a leadership role and I'm going into before a transaction and I'm about ready to engage the private equity firm or go into this whole process, maybe kind of the final thought here of like, what should I be thinking about before I kick off that process as it pertains to cyber? Because I got a question after our last episode from somebody, which I thought was interesting on, hey, this is all great. You talked a lot about what happens in the middle of it or when I'm in an event, but they were asking more kind of like that. And you talked about this in a previous episode too, that sell-side diligence preparation. What is something that from this conversation that maybe you could tell that user, hey, think about preparing for that, going into that transaction cycle during that sell side, this is the one cyber learning I've learned that would make you most successful.
So I think what you're asking is, you know, as you get ready to start thinking about selling a business, how should you frame up your thinking around cyber security?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think go back to what we just talked about. When is the last time you've done an audit? You got to ask yourself these questions. When is the last time you did an audit? How is your employee training? Do you have an incident response plan? When is the last time you did a penetration test? I think it's the same things, right? Because you got to assume that if you're selling a mid-market business, we're not talking about selling a mom and pop store down on Main Street. We're talking about selling a business with 100, 200, 500, 1,000 plus employees, formidable enterprise. You got to kind of have your ducks in a row. And listen, having your ducks in a row does not mean no skeletons in the closet. And skeletons in the closet doesn't necessarily mean like really scary things. But what I mean by having your ducks in a row is you're thoughtful about your business, in this case, thoughtful about cybersecurity. You know, maybe you don't have the best systems and protocols and processes, procedures in place in the world, but you should at least know kind of what you have and set up realistic expectations for yourself in terms of what other people are likely going to find as they hire SWAT teams of experts to come in and pick these things apart, right? Because, you know, let's say you're selling this to a $1 billion private equity fund. These are some pretty smart folks. They don't get entrusted with $1 billion unless they kind of know what they're doing and they've got some good resources at their fingertips. You know, they buy businesses all the time. They know what to look for and what to watch out for. And, you know, you having a good sense as to what they're going to find is typically a good starting point. Because you may decide, hey, these are some easy things to fix, and why have to have a hard conversation about them? Just fix them and then sell the business. Maybe you're 1 month behind. And likewise, maybe the things that they find are like, hey, listen, we've worked on these things. We don't know how to get them better than they are, or it would cost $10 million or something like that to become world class here, and go have a conversation with prospective investors about it. But I think knowing what they're going to find to a large degree just puts you in a much better position overall.
And Mike, by the way, that's such a simple but great answer. Just do everything we said, despite not having a sponsor backing you. Just
go figure, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
So Mike, can I end with some trivia, man? Are you ready for some trivia?
Let's do it.
You know, we hear about cyber attacks all the time. And again, Wall Street Journal always covers kind of the bigger ones. What percentage of small to mid-sized companies do you think are actually targeted in these cyber attacks?
My guess would be, even though the prize is probably smaller for the bad actors, I venture to guess it's the majority of attacks are focused down market, because these hackers, they got to be reasonably smart, or else they wouldn't be able to figure out how to get into all these company systems. And if I have to think that if I was in their shoes, while the bigger prize is hacking into Boeing or Airbus or some large multinational corporation, you got to think that their protocols are a little bit stronger than maybe your $30, $50, $100 million business backed by a private equity firm with lots to lose if you can get the keys to the kingdom. So my guess would be probably more often than not down market.
I would say, yeah, hey, that's actually pretty close though. It's actually around 50%, which is why that we talk about this so much. It's not just a big company issue, to your point. It's an issue for all of us.
Yeah, it's a good reminder, James. I think, like we've talked about, most businesses don't realize how jeopardized they probably are today and need to start taking it more seriously, because, you know, certainly there's not going to be less cybersecurity breaches in the future, or cybersecurity attempts in the future. There's certainly going to be more of them.
Yeah, man. Well, hey, that's, I think, that we have everything for today. Listeners, thanks for listening in. Don't forget to subscribe and like, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Growing EBITDA. If you like this episode, hit subscribe or follow us on LinkedIn for updates. Got a topic you'd like us to cover? Drop us a message. We'd love to hear from you.